Welcome to the Personal Financial Planning Section podcast, delivering insights from experts on tax, retirement, estate, risk management, investment planning, and practice management, designed to help you best serve your clients and take your practice to the next level. I'm your PFP section host, Sarah Bradley. Be sure to visit us at aicpa.org/PFP and stay tuned at the end of the episode for information on how to access valuable resources. And now over to our guest.
Thank you, Sarah. Hi, I'm Lisa Featherngill, and I'm here to talk about estate planning. This is a great time of year to have a discussion with your clients about estate planning. Why? Well, you may have just finished preparing their tax return and noticed assets, including dividends and interest on Schedule B, or maybe you noticed some interest expense relating to a mortgage on Schedule A. Year-end planning is getting a lot of attention right now, so personal finances are top of mind for many clients. Third, the rules have changed regarding estate planning for 2008 through 2025, and clients may not know the impact on their existing estate plans. And then finally, you may not know this, but October 21 through 27 is National Estate Planning Awareness Week. CPAs are in a wonderful position to discuss estate planning with clients. Why? First of all, CPAs understand financial structure of clients very well. Second, CPAs understand taxes probably better than any other advisor. Third, CPAs understand cash flow and the retirement requirements of assets, which in an estate planning perspective means they understand the amount of assets that are needed for retirement or other goals, and likewise, the amount that may be left over for wealth transfer planning. And then finally, CPAs have the ability to marry multiple items like the financial structure with the estate plan to give clients a perspective that they won't get from any other advisors. Are you wondering how to broach the subject with clients? Here are some items that warrant a review of an estate plan. First, a change in the tax law. As I mentioned a minute ago, we have a change that is in effect until the end of 2025. Second would be a change of residency. If clients move from one state to another, maybe they move from a community property state to a separate property state or vice versa. That definitely warrants a review of their estate plan. Maybe there was a birth of a child or perhaps a death of a family member or even a divorce. All of these things warrant review of the estate plan. So what does the process look like? First of all, I like to start with a qualitative aspect, which is talking about the goals for the client. When I say the client, it might be a single individual, it could be a married couple or partners, but I think that it's important to have both people at the table, if it is a couple or partners, so that you get the perspective of both individuals, because the estate plan typically is going to cover first death and second death. Second, gather information regarding assets, debt, family legacy assets like trusts that were created by parents or grandparents. Gather the estate planning documents, including the last tax return that was filed, and life insurance information, the latest statements on the client, or any other policies that have the client or the spouse or partner as insured. You also want to ensure the client has other estate planning documents, like a durable power of attorney, a healthcare power of attorney, a living will, a revocable trust, and a last will and testament. So once you've got the financial information accumulated, you want to prepare an estate planning net worth. An estate planning net worth shows assets and liabilities by individual as well as those in joint name. And this allows you to take a very different perspective of the financial structure, an estate planning perspective, so you can see what assets might have beneficiary designations, what assets are owned jointly and would pass to the joint owner by virtue of their ownership structure. And then the next step is to review the documents, maybe even prepare highlights for the client. And then the next step is the most important for the client. That is to diagram the estate plan in a flowchart. Typically, I like to look at first death, then second death, then what goes to children, and then what goes to future generations or charity. The flowchart should include dollar amounts based on the estate planning net worth. There's almost always an aha moment when the client realizes how much their heirs receive and at what ages when you present that flowchart to a client. And that, to me, is the one thing that the client typically remembers about the estate planning meeting when they're looking back on what their current plan looks like. It's when you have presented it in that diagram. That flowchart and the conversation that follows is usually a great jumping off point to talk about what needs to be modified in the client's estate plan. And this is a point where you may start to engage the client's estate planning attorney. There's also an opportunity here for you to do a lot of legwork with the client in educating them about wealth transfer ideas, which can add a lot of efficiency when the estate planning attorney is introduced. But for complex clients, you may want to vet the ideas with the attorney before presenting to the client to make sure that you're both on the same page. You and the attorney can also help the client think through important roles like guardians of the children, trustees of the trust now and in the future, and for larger estates, roles like trust protector. You want to ensure that beneficiary designations and titling of assets are consistent with the plan. For example, if a revocable trust is being used as part of the estate plan, you want to make sure the title of accounts or assets are changed to the trustee of the trust. Beneficiary designations are one of the easiest ways to mess up a good plan. Remember, assets with beneficiary designations do not pass according to the plan. Rather, they pass to the named beneficiary. So it's critical to make sure that beneficiary designations are aligned with the plan. And then finally, I always say that the plan's not complete until it's communicated. So what are some best practices for communicating the plan? Well, first of all, clients should discuss their goals and values as well as the plan. It gives a lot of context and it helps the family members get grounded. Second, help the client think through how much they want to share. Maybe they want to start small with a discussion just of the assets in the plan and the plan itself without sharing dollar amounts. That will depend on the age and maturity of the heirs. Third, help the client think through who to include in the meeting. Again, they may want to start small and just include immediate family without in-laws. Holidays are a great time to have these meetings because the family is typically in town and they're not worried about getting the children to school or other daily activities. Fourth, talk to the family members before the meeting to learn what's on their minds and help the client craft an agenda to address the issues. It's important that the agenda reflect the interests of the family, not just the client, in order to maintain engagement in the meeting. And then finally, as the family advisor, you're in a great position to facilitate the meeting and encourage participation and understanding. You can sit back and look and make sure that people are following what's being said and follow up either at the meeting or after with additional clarification. So on behalf of the PFP section, this has been Lisa Featherngill. If you enjoyed this podcast, I highly encourage you to visit the PFP section website and access the Advisor's Guide to Financial and Estate Planning. Stay tuned for Sarah Bradley, who will tell you how to find these valuable resources. Thank you for listening.
And thank you for sharing with our community of listeners. Want more information, resources, tools, and guidance on technical and practice management topics? Visit aicpa.org/PFP. And check out the show notes for this episode as well. So if you're not already a member, think about joining the PFP section, which is designed to save you time, help you best serve your clients, and take your financial planning practice to the next level. You'll gain access to a robust selection of high-quality technical and practice management resources like guides, 24/7 access to an online learning library, client communication and education tools, up to 8 hours of free CPE, and more. Don't forget to leave us a review so we can continue bringing valuable and relevant content. And subscribe to our podcast channel so you don't miss an episode. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to next time.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.